Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It's 9:30 in 716.
I'm Susan Rose.
I'm Brian Mazurowski outside, currently looking at clear skies. Pretty nice out there, 55 degrees in Buffalo.
2 days after the midterms, control of the House and Senate still up for grabs.
A razor-thin race is unfolding in Colorado. Fewer than 100 votes separated Republican Congresswoman Lauren Boebert and Adam Frisch overnight in what could be a major upset for Republicans. But on the other side of the country, a big win for Republicans, Mike Lawler beating New York Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney, the chairman of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee.
ABC calling a runoff election in the Georgia Senate race to be held at the beginning of December. Galen Drew, host of the 538 podcast, weighs in on the battle between Republican Herschel Walker and his Democrat opponent, Raphael Warnock.
Herschel Walker is not popular, and the fact that he sort of did as well as he did to pull even with Raphael Warnock could be in part because he was riding the coattails of popular Governor Brian Kemp. If Brian Kemp is not on the ballot in this runoff election, it's possible that Raphael Warnock has the advantage.
Election night did not go as planned for Donald Trump. Several of the candidates he endorsed lost. Now observers are speculating whether the former president will still commit to the big announcement he promised at an election rally a few days ago, or hold off on announcing a presidential run as pushed by some advisors.
Will he decide not to run? Maybe. But at the same time, other people I've talked to say, look, he's been doing this for almost 2 years now. We're talking about this big announcement of a run, but the reality is that ever since he left the White House, he's been holding these rallies, acting as a candidate. He's just too far, as some people say, his advisors, he's too far down the road to back out now.
That announcement is planned for next Tuesday.
Meanwhile, growing concern about the economy amid a wave of new layoffs, Facebook's parent company cutting 11,000 jobs. The tech industry taking a hit with advertising revenue falling, inflation cutting into consumer spending. Rhiannon Alley has more.
Adding to the uncertainty on Wall Street, the collapse of FTX, one of the largest cryptocurrency exchanges, and Tuesday's midterm election results, where voters delivered a mixed verdict.
It's Rhiannon Alley with the latest. Twitter, Lyft already announcing big jobs cuts. Real estate company Redfin laying off 13% of its staff.
We're keeping an eye on a rare November hurricane for Florida.
Hurricane Nicole made its arrival in the middle of the night, slamming Florida's east coast with heavy rain and wind gusts topping 75 miles per hour. Homeowners described their backyards disappearing as massive waves lashed the Daytona Beach area, already battered by Hurricane Ian 6 weeks ago. New drone video shows the beach erosion in Volusia County hours before Nicole's landfall. The storm surge expected to be up to 5 feet, jeopardizing homes and residential buildings. The sheriff saying 12 condos and at least one hotel were in danger of collapsing. Authorities evacuated families from at least six of the buildings.
Nicole made landfall overnight, just south of Vero Beach.
Yeah, you can see some of the waves crashing on the shoreline this morning. 5:05 now on WBEN. Will Josh Allen play on Sunday? It's the big question heading into the Bills matchup with Minnesota. Sean McDermott yesterday providing an update.
Based on the medical report that we have, Josh is day-to-day. We will see how he does. We use common sense, and obviously we factor a lot of things into it, the medical report being one of them, and our doctor's wisdom and knowledge. He's day-to-day, and the next question will be, is he going to play? And the answer is, we'll see. He's day-to-day, and the next question will be, is he going to play? And the answer is, we'll see.
Well, Sean McDermott right there. ESPN reported earlier this week Allen dealing with a UCL injury. That's an elbow ligament, so something to watch out for there. I was saying earlier this morning, we'll see. I'm very familiar with that phrase.
I think all of us are, right?
I'm a father. I know what we'll see means.
That's what dads say. It
means no. It means we'll see. Maybe you'll forget about it, but we'll see. By the age of 7, I figured that one out. We'll see. Okay.
That's a good one. Jack Eichel back in town tonight when the Sabres play Vegas downtown at 7. Eichel playing well this season after undergoing disc replacement surgery, a move unprecedented for a hockey player that became a flashpoint in the weeks leading up to him being traded away from the team. WBEN's Max Ferry takes a look at that surgery and its growing popularity.
Buffalo Sabre turned Golden Knight Jack Eichel became the first person last year in the NHL to undergo a different neurological surgery called artificial disc replacement, or ADR, as opposed to the common practice of anterior cervical discectomy and fusion, or ACDF. After suffering from a herniated disc, and as a result, other NHL hockey players started to follow suit.
A year ago, nobody had it. Now all of a sudden, 3 guys have had it, so it's a more common injury than you think, and it's a good way to resolve that injury, and so I'm happy that guys have had the opportunity to do it.
Professor of Neurology and Chief Medical Officer of the Dent Neurologic Institute, Dr. Laszlo Mechtler, highlights the benefits of the artificial disc replacement.
Some of the literature says that 4 to 6 weeks is the recovery time for this type of surgery. So it is a faster recovery time. The studies that have been done showed that the complication rate is less, and also showed that the 4 and 5 year side effect profile is better with this type of surgery. So I think that in the future, more and more athletes will be undergoing this type of procedure. But like I said, we'll have to wait and see what the 5 year success rates are compared to ACDF.
More on this is made available to you on our website, Max Ferry, WBEN.com News.
All right, Max, thank you. Jack Eichel back in town. An exciting night. It's a big night for the Sabres tonight, 7 o'clock, and we'll see how it all plays out. Well, there might be a big change coming to the way you go about getting rid of your big old electronics. WBEN's Brayton Wilson has the story.
Recycling is a very big topic right now throughout the state of New York, and electronic recycling may be something you should keep in mind heading into the holiday season. It has been an outlet for people to be able to get rid of their old technology laying around the house that is either broken or hasn't been used in some time. This Saturday, Sun King Electronics Recycling is hosting a free event in West Seneca where people can register and load up their old devices and drop it off like a drive-thru.
We've streamlined that process, so it's a 10-minute process at the most. You have a drop off time, you go through, we take your stuff, and like I said, it's as simple as that. And then we take it from there. We take it back to our warehouse over in Brockport, and that's where we break it down and send along those components. And especially if there's something in there that can be reused as well, that's always the first line of recycling. So we look for stuff like that as well. If we can refurbish it, give it a second life, great. If not, we're able to break it down, and that's usually been the easiest way for people to recycle.
That was Director of Marketing at Sun King, Robert Burns. Come January 1st of 2023, new regulations will be in place across New York State, where it must be free and convenient for everyone to be able to recycle electronics. That means it may be the final chance for Western New Yorkers to be able to recycle their electronics via drive-thru before the holidays, as Sun King plans to make free drop-off locations available to the public as soon as the start of this month. While opening the drop-off locations may deter the need for larger drop-off events like the one in West Seneca on Saturday, Burns says it will be a wait-and-see approach if they plan for another event down the road.
We don't know if these events are going to be needed anymore if you can just load up your stuff and go to the Goodwill around the corner or whatever the drop-off site may be. So it's going to be some changes for us in the industry, for the consumer, for everyone listening. It's a great thing for you. You know, you're buying something new, you put it aside, you have so many more options now to drop it off and know that you're doing the right thing. You're also avoiding a fine because it's illegal to throw these things out. So it's a win-win for the consumer.
Hear more of our conversation with Burns on electronic recycling available on our website. Brayton Wilson, WBEN.com News.
I do hate hanging on to this stuff, you know, waiting for the right drop-off event.
TVs are so tough now.
Yeah.
You know, no longer able to, like, donate a lot of, especially the older ones,
right,
to, you know, Salvation Army or the Goodwill or something like that. There's, you know, very, I remember one time driving around with the TV in the back of my car for, I mean, it was days.
Yeah.
Just trying to figure out where do I get rid of this. Might be a little bit more tough without some of these events that are usually pretty well advertised. You know, you're able to kind of pre-plan for that. We'll see if it happens this point on going into the future.
It will change, yeah, in January.
Your exclusive WBEN 7 weather forecast for the day today calls for unseasonable warmth and a good supply of sunshine, with temperatures into the low 70s once again for highs away from Lake Erie. Lakeside, it'll be into the upper 60s with a balmy southerly breeze. Tonight, high clouds out ahead of Nicole. Travel into western New York, the overnight low temperature into the mid-50s. Veterans Day brings periods of rain by afternoon. We could see upwards of an inch to an inch and a half of rainfall, the high temperature in the mid-60s. With your exclusive WBN 7 weather forecast, I'm meteorologist Josh Nichols.
Republican strategist Carl Calabrese is joining us this morning. Carl, Democrats held off a red wave on Tuesday, and when you look at exit polls, 73% of voters were angry, they're concerned about the economy, yet they kept the status quo in office. It seems as though politics is frozen. What's your take?
A couple of things, Susan. You know, this election, my number one thought was, there's an old saying about the Republican Party that I think is true, that goes like this. The Republican Party is the party that never misses an opportunity to miss an opportunity. And that's exactly what happened the other night, a once-every-generation opportunity in terms of all the political moons and stars lining up perfectly for a wave election. Because all the polls, as you just mentioned, basically screamed the word wave going into the actual election. And yet I'm left with a feeling, I know a lot of Republicans are left with a feeling that, summed up by that old song by Peggy Lee, is that all there is? Yes, we won the House of Representatives. Yes, that will be, well, I shouldn't say that. We don't know that yet. There's 40-something seats still up for grabs, but I think when it's all said and done, because the Republicans only needed six, and we got four or five just out of New York alone, they will be in control. It may not be by a lot, but in this game, an inch is as good as a mile. We got the House. That will be an effective break to the far left progressive agenda that the Biden administration has been pursuing. But you're left with that feeling, that wanting feeling. What could have been? Why did we miss the opportunity to what Newt Gingrich referred to as a realignment election? Newt Gingrich, who engineered one of the biggest political wave elections of my lifetime in 1994, when he took back the House of Representatives in one bite by winning 53 seats and taking away the majority that the Democrats had held for 40 consecutive years. He was predicting not just a wave, he was predicting what he called a realignment election of some 40 to 50 seats. How did we miss that? And there's going to be a lot of analysis and thinking about what the party did wrong to miss this great opportunity.
Well, does part of that lie with former President Trump? Democrats wanted to make this election about Trump. Carl, in the past, I know we've talked about this, Trump was not a top issue for voters. But in areas where Democrats spent money to prop up in the primaries, the candidate most closely aligned with the former president, all those candidates lost to a Democrat in the general election. It worked for them.
Yes, it did. And I heard your interview with Dave Leventhal, and he was absolutely right. It was one of the most cynical political plays I've ever seen, but it worked. And what it told you is that, and some of these candidates were new, and they developed into good candidates, but you got to look at who they beat in those primaries. And the question is, the people they beat in the primaries, which were, in most cases, more seasoned, proven elected officials who had a track record of being able to win campaigns and attract independents, those were the folks who were beaten. And you have to ask, if the Republican Party voters, the base voters, had made a smarter choice in their primary votes, would they have fielded better, more qualified, and more competitive candidates? I think the answer to that is clearly yes, because if you look at what's winning for the Republicans, let's look at the governors, Sununu, DeWine, Kemp, Abbott, DeSantis. All of them are conservative, but they're not, they don't fall into the mold of election deniers and that whole Trump thing. They're conservative. They have good, solid records of accomplishments at the state level. They appeal to moderates. They appeal to independents, and they win, and they win big. I just hope the Republican base begins to realize that, what do you want? What do you want out of an election for president? Do you want to elect a conservative president with an agenda that you like? Or do you want to give the middle finger to the establishment? That, I think, is the question. And until Republican base voters figure out that It's about winning the presidency in 2024. I'm concerned that this party may continue down the same path of electing candidates that make them feel good initially, but then just aren't ready for the big leagues come November.
I want to know, Carl, what you think about what the conversation is going on right now within the Republican Party. I mean, Trump's being advised to delay his announcement, right, next week. The Republican Party doesn't seem to discuss whether he should run the way the Democrats openly say that Joe Biden should not run again.
No, the Republicans aren't comfortable with that kind of public discussion. But I can tell you, Susan, it's happening. It's happening in private. It's also starting to bubble up. I'm reading lots of op-ed pieces from different conservative journals and authors now openly saying it's time. And in fact, there was a piece I sent to a couple of my friends last night called An Open Letter to Donald Trump. And it was very good and basically laid out that, look, you won the presidency. You implemented a great agenda. Your agenda was very popular. But it's time to recognize that when you run for office, you ignite a passion on the left that's just unprecedented. And they come out with a mission to defeat you. And, that is going to happen again, and maybe even more so if he runs again. So, yeah, the party's going to be in an interesting position. Assuming he announces that he's running, what do they do? Is it time to look to the bench? And we've got a very good bench. And the most obvious is Ron DeSantis, what he did in Florida. Absolutely incredible. I mean, there was the red wave. He's made Florida a Republican stronghold when not long ago it was a purple state. He's got more, for the first time in its history, Florida has more registered Republicans than Democrats. He's got that Trumpian quality of he's not afraid to fight. But what I find about him is he's much more careful in the fights that he picks. And when he does pick a fight, he's much more careful with the language he uses. And those are two traits that Donald Trump, I think, genetically just can't do.
You know, the other big thing that we began to see, Carl, was the issue of abortion, something we talked about before the election as, I think for a lot of people, and they saw this as right, it wasn't top of mind. It wasn't the economy. It wasn't crime, inflation, things like that. It wasn't something that directly impacted most people. However, it was a big issue for young voters, under 30, under 25 years old. What is the Republican issue that drives young voters to the poll? I'm struggling to see if there is one.
I agree with you. I don't know if there is one because these young voters, frankly, have gone through an education system from grade school that has produced a very left-wing voting bloc. I mean, when you look at questions to young people about, socialism, I mean, 45% of young people think socialism is superior to capitalism. We got a real problem in the coming generation with the folks that we've educated through this very, very far left progressive education system that unfortunately parents didn't realize how bad it was until COVID, and they got to see through virtual learning exactly what was being taught. I don't know if there is an answer for young people. I think, for example, I felt that Republicans missed the boat with women, especially married women with children, in not identifying as the party of the parent and talking about education issues and educational control, much like Glenn Youngkin did to win the governorship of Virginia last year. I always thought that was a sleeper issue, especially for suburban women. We didn't develop that in this election. And hopefully going forward, the party recognizes that is a very, very potent issue that Republicans ought to own. But it's just a voting bloc that may not be Republican. And the problem is, Brian, is that, in the past, the knock on young voters was they don't vote. They may appear leftist and answer the questions that favor Democrats, but they just don't come out to vote. That's not been true the last couple of cycles. They are coming out, and they're coming out in bigger and bigger numbers. Young single women are voting Democrat 87%. So it's a real problem. It's got to be counteracted. I think the counteracting strategy is with married women with children in the suburbs, and education would, I think, be the key to unlocking that strategy successfully.
That's 930 in 716. We're back tomorrow with another edition from the studios of WBEN Buffalo.
baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.